This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
It's not like, oh man, Paul, great, great birthing pod video. Yeah, yeah, you really play the shit out of that deck. Yeah, man, I really liked when you sacked that kitchen finx and killed your opponent. You know, and it's like.
Welcome to the A-Team podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for mises they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
It's just like, why? Not everything I do is like horrible. You can't have it both ways, old man.
Jay Boosh.
Damn it! Why am I always so ahead of the curve, and then somebody like Owen makes a deck popular, and now I sound like every deck brewer on the planet?
Scotty.
It's actually a secret ploy for her to get you two to spend more time together. Your mom next levels you.
It's awesome. Like, serious.
And Jeremy.
Do you know how hard it is to buy Korean singles?
No.
And when you put Korean singles into Googles, do you know what you get? You don't get Magic cards.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 203 of the A-Team podcast. This is KYT, back from Hong Kong after 2 weeks' absence. I am glad to be back with my three best friends. Scotty Mac, how's it going, Dad?
Fantastic. Welcome home, son. Did you bring anything with you? Not presents, as in, like, maybe the gift that keeps on giving?
I didn't bring shit back.
I mean, so. He did go to Asia, so...
You didn't bring us any Chinese cards or anything?
It's a legitimate question, right? I mean...
Fuck, what a fucking asshole.
Jay and Jeremy,
hello.
We don't even get our own unique one. Like, it's just like, oh, and there's Jay and Jeremy over there in Alberta.
Double J. You guys interjected in Scott's thing, so.
He fucked up with
you. I did not. I was behaved.
He said
I
episode 200.
And now I have to share it.
Episode 2003 is what he said.
203.
203. Fucking Grumpy Cat movie.
That's 20,003.
That's right.
203. That's 20,003.
Well, okay.
Got someone who can do math.
Yeah.
Wait.
Hey, wait.
Well, I mean, you got to leave it to the Asian guys, right?
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice you are hearing, of course, as promised, finally fresh off of his Nashville appearance, newly minted daily streamer.
For the time being.
For the time being, we have with us my fellow Community Cup champion, our team leader, as it were, Mr. Paul Cheon. Welcome to the show, sir.
It's good to be here. How's it going, everybody?
Fackin' awesome.
Cool. Yeah, fackin' awesome. Jeez.
Fackin' awesome.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't just me. Let's be real here. Every time I looked over, Tom Ross was just winning matches. So, and
hey,
so did you.
Thank
so did
you.
You. So did you. So did you.
That's why we had Tom on the show first.
Oh, I got it. Well, only one of us got double digit scores in the flavor part of
very true. This is very true.
Yeah. Just go around jamming pack rats in your deck. Come on, man.
Well,
do you have any self-respect? Like pack rat?
I mean, no.
You know those guys aren't going to give you any points if you play Pack Rat in your deck.
Yes, yeah. But it was like the only way I could possibly win games.
Yeah, I guess.
The decks with the combination of cards was terrible for me. I played so bad.
Like, if you knew that the Wizards guys were just going to play unplayable decks, then you probably didn't need Pack Rat in your
deck. That very likely would have influenced my decisions differently, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, c'est la vie. We won anyway.
Yeah. Chips. We got them.
Scoreboard.
Yep.
But, yeah, so we're glad to have you. Jer, did you do anything this week?
Did I do anything this
You play
week?
Any Magic? Did you have fun?
No, he did nothing. He just...
I mean, well, he had a really busy week last week, so it's a fair question.
Yeah, no, it was a really crazy week. Like, again, I'm just putting in all kinds of stupid hours, but I got to play some Magic yesterday. I finally sat there and realized that I need to study up for Saturday.
Yeah.
What's on Saturday?
It's the Saturday MBSS.
Is the Man Under Prize Super Series in Calgary. Okay. For a little backstory, it is the Canadian kind of Magic tournament series, an independent one that runs through Canada. So it's in its early stages, but it keeps growing, which is awesome. And one thing that I've always been busting KYT's balls about is the fact that it's never been streamed. Like, we don't do coverage of it until this Saturday.
Who's the coverage guys?
Myself, a fellow by the name of Jared Gestadi, who's a guy who's probably raged on Yuamoto on a number of accounts that have been banned for life, and a fellow named Eric Chan.
Okay.
So yeah, some Canadian folk, but I've done a couple for our little streaming thing for PTQs and stuff like that, and we're going to try out this MDSS thing, so.
Okay, and the format's?
Standard.
You guys, do any of you guys play Standard?
I mean, I've been playing a metric shit ton of Standard every week.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so Scott knows what's going on. I have been just trying to read articles and watch streams, although I'm so stupid tired that by the time I sit down and turn on a stream, I usually see opening mulligans and then fall asleep.
Yeah, that's what I'm at too right now.
Yeah. So.
I see. What have you been playing, Scott?
So on Mastering Magic, the new stream show, right? I've been running
plug.
I mean, come on, they're shameless for a reason.
Yeah.
So I've been running a different guild of what do we fucking call them? Clan every week. So I started out the first week with Jeskai week, and I played Geist in Modern just because it was Jeskai, and I did that on Monday. And then the Wednesday I played Jeskai, like a Jeskai Winds deck, and it was great. Deck was really, really powerful. I really felt like the Jeskai deck in Standard is very much like the Blue-White-Red Geist deck that I was playing in Modern. Like, they're very, very, very comparable in strategy and metagame approach.
Yeah, so, I can see that. I mean, I would love for Geist to be in, you know, the Standard version of the deck.
But... Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
fucking unbeatable. Yeah, Rabble Master. Tap, no.
No. Yeah.
But, so that was cool. And then the week after that, I played Teemer all week, which was neat. I played, like...
Gibbler's deck?
I played Frank's version first, which was, like, really mid-rangey. And then I played Kibler's basic first draft of it, and that was fine. Mm-hmm. And then we went Abzan week, and I had Mike Sigrist on for Abzan Aggro on the Monday, and then I had Ari Lax on the Wednesday, and we played his version updated of the Pro Tour deck.
That sounds pretty absurd.
It was pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
And then I played Jeskai Heroic on Monday, which was terrible and humiliating.
Yeah, I saw that deck. It won the Open in Oakland. And I saw the deck, and I'm just like, it just seems like it mushed the Blue-White Heroic deck and the Jeskai Ascendancy deck and kind of put it together.
Yeah.
So it, like, not nearly as consistent as either deck, but, I mean, I guess if you just draw Jeskai Ascendancy, the deck is still fine because the card itself is very good.
It's interesting because it's actually very good as just a plain Heroic deck. And the fact that you've got... like, the fact that you can layer your triggers with a Corrowing Crusader and a Jeskai Ascendancy on the table to be able to, like, pump your hasty tokens with each one you create, you get to pump it off the Ascendancy is really, really sick.
Well, yeah. The Crusader seems insane. It's probably the best one drop in the deck.
Agree.
But, like, you know, the Trailblazer is only in there just as an additional one drop or
and
the
trouble. It's got four in the butt too.
Yeah, it's so got that, four in the butt. So it's good against like the Jeskai Ascendant, the Jeskai Tempo decks because, you know, it's basically burn proof.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the deck is fine. Like, I'm just not a combo player at all. Like, I just don't have the headspace for it. It's just, it's not my cup of tea. And as a result, I clumsily spilled said tea all over my groin area. Like, it was just really...
Because you were so bad at playing combo decks, you spilled tea on your groin?
The figurative tea. So, like, it's not my cup of tea. I took that cup of tea.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to spill this all over my pants.
No, no. And, I mean, that's legitimately possible. That could have happened.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Did it happen?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, yeah. But, no, I absolutely just, like, I shit the bed. It was really bad. It was humiliating. I went, like, 2-6 on the 2-6 on the day, and like, but by the end of the night, I learned a lot about the deck. And I mean, if this was a deck that you wanted to sort of commit some cycles to, you could pull off some serious shit. Like, it is really capable of just, like, if you happen to, you can play either game. But understanding that really delicate, like, that delicate vertex of when to just aggro them out and when to save for the combo, right. That's a real delicate line, and you really need to be, you know, proficient with the deck to be able to figure it out effectively. But I think it's worth it.
I guess I do like the fact that, you know, pretty much everything just cycles.
Yeah.
Outside of Titan Strength. That's, like, the only one where, like, yeah, I like the fact that everything else cycles, so, like, even if they kind of, you know, have a removal spell at some point for your big guy, you can still, you know, draw through your deck and eventually find the ascendancy to combo people out. It seems like this deck is basically good against, like, the green, you know, a lot of the green non-interactive decks, or maybe the Abzan decks, but it still seems like it has the similar weaknesses that, you know, when we played Jeskai Ascendancy combo at the Pro Tour,
yeah.
You know, you play against a deck with a bunch of removal, like, namely blue, red, white. I feel like this deck just doesn't have a good matchup against that because they can just kill all your creatures.
Yeah, and that's where you start looking at cards like the Chasm Skulker in the sideboard was really for that sort of matchup because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like another way to just refill on a shit ton of guys and you draw a lot of cards and stuff. So, anyways, I mean, that's definitely the weakest matchup, I think, but any green deck, this should just smash it right in the mouth.
Like, oh, yeah, that I agree with.
Yeah.
And another thing is, like, you know, one issue that we had with just playing this just straight Ascendancy combo deck was just the fact that, you know, a lot of times you can just lose to yourself. But the thing is, this deck can actually just cobble together, like, a beatdown strategy, and actually you can just kill your opponents. Even and you don't fizzle as often because you're still just going to have all these dudes with counters on them.
Seriously, Seeker of the Way and Jeskai Charm, like the +1/+1 Jeskai Charm mode is really, really good in this deck.
Yeah.
Because you just gain so much life and you're able to play these turns where all of a sudden you're just swinging with these like 6/7/7s and they all have lifelink and you're just like, do something, you know? And you've got infinity turns after that to try to just go off if it doesn't work. So that's cool. The deck was neat.
Okay.
And then I played Teemer once again. I had a rain check with Pedro Carvalho, actually, from the Pro Tour, from Brazil.
Ah.
And so we played Teemer last night, too. But
It sounds like you should be doing coverage for this big tournament.
Oh, dagger.
No, I'm just... No, that's not a dagger. What I mean is it seems like you have a legitimate grasp of all the decks in the format. It seems like you would be good at doing commentary. Are you planning on playing in it?
No, Calgary is nowhere near me. So it would be the equivalent to almost of me saying to you, "Hey, Paul, go to Indianapolis for a fucking 5K."
Yeah, there's a tournament in Chicago.
To me, it's just Canada. I don't know the.
I know, so that's what I'm trying to give you the equivalent. Like, it's really far away.
Well, if somebody did that to me. You know, I was living in Los Angeles, and there was Grand Prix. You know, San Jose. It's like, and people were like, "Oh, it must be nice to have a Grand Prix just right in your backyard." Like, dude, it's a 6-hour drive.
Do you know how big California is, motherfucker?
Yeah. California is like 7 states. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. So it's going to be good. Jay needs to figure out what he's going to play. And I mean, there's so many decks in the format.
What do you like to what style of play do you enjoy, Jay?
The style of play that I enjoy, man, it's been so long since I even played like real Magic. I mostly play Cube, Paul. So I like my favorite times of Standard was the Delver Standard.
Delver?
Yeah. So
like blue-white Delver.
Delver and Hexproof after that.
Hexproof?
If you want
to play Hexproof,
you just want to slap a Magic.
I just want to absolutely ranch people with the best deck possible, but I don't want that deck to be like eggs, where I'm like sitting here for like a fucking hour, jerking it in your mouth, and then I win maybe and go to time and shit. Like, I don't want that. But Delver, where it's like turn one Delver, reveal Mana Leak, just scoop,
isn't that just some delicious like mental imagery?
Yeah,
I'm a poet, alright?
Yes.
Words are my art. So I like things like that. Like, Hexproof was, like, not my favorite deck. It was my favorite deck in that format, because I thought that format was a joke.
Right. I mean, if you want to play a deck similar to Hexproof, the Blue-White Heroic deck is similar to that. In the sense that, like, you know, you make this giant creature, and then you have all these protection spells to protect it. But I tested the deck a lot And I was almost going to play it in Hawaii, but it kind of lost itself a lot. But I think the go-tos right now, it just seems like you got your Abzan deck and you got your Jeskai deck, right?
Yeah, I got those a lot of people telling me to play Abzan.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Abzan, if you haven't played a lot of Magic, the deck a lot of times...
It's Jund.
It's literally play the most expensive card in your hand most of the time. Oh my god. Okay. Kyle just got a hold of a toilet roll and he's vandalizing the house.
Nice.
See, we're allowed to pick on Kyle. You're not allowed to pick on Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle.
Kyle, bad boy.
Get your fucking together. Life together.
Yeah.
Your whole life. Get it all together.
Oh god.
Damn it, Kyle.
Here, drink your water.
Yeah. Have some tasty water to wash down that tasty cliff bar.
All right. Is anybody else playing in this tournament, or is it just Jay?
Just me.
Oh, okay.
So you are playing in it, though, Jay?
Oh, I don't know. If I can get a deck, I will. But well, I mean, like, I'm the kind of guy...
I have magical cards in front of me.
If I can't get the deck, like, if I can't get the deck I want, I won't just play anything just to play, right? Well, because I can still show up and play, like, Cube and Werewolf and EDH and stuff.
Right.
And, like, that'll still be fun. But, like, if I'm forced to play something shitty, like, I don't know.
If somebody just hands you an Abzan deck, you can just play it. Because, like,
yeah.
Abzan is just, like, very... good deck, like
let's walk through some strategy, because I'm sure there's some people out there that haven't really played this either and are kind of wondering the same thing that I'm wondering. So it's just somebody was saying it's just Jund, basically, like you just play the most expensive
it is the new Jund. It's not as good as the new Jund, because Siege Rhino is not Bloodbraid Elf,
right?
But Siege Rhino is still pretty great. Like, that's the thing.
Like, drain you for four and it's a 4/4 trample,
three and it's a 4/5 trampler.
And you know, the most important thing about that is the fact that it has 5 toughness, meaning that it doesn't get stoked to flinch, which is huge.
Here, there's the deck. Play that deck.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, any variation of the deck is good. And I like the deck is just, it's probably the most expensive deck in the format, because the deck is just all rares.
Right.
But
do you have all the rares?
But yeah, I got some sweet pro tips for you. If you want.
Okay, let's hook it up. Hook it up.
Play our Siege Rhino in turn 3. Yeah, you're welcome.
That's the
super tech, man. I love that.
And okay. Then just play another one, and then another one after that, and then you just tell them, "Welcome to the Pro Tour." That's what you do.
Man, right on coverage on my feature match. Just welcome to the Pro Tour.
I got one little problem in the sense that I'm already lending Doug Potter Temple of Maladies and Land War Wastes and Mana.
Well, I feel like Doug Potter has a bigger network than I do. And can suck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like Doug Potter can get cards from wherever.
Yeah.
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 Well, you are a part of this podcast, though. Can't you just be like...
Rank?
Hey. I mean, yeah. I could try, but like most of the Edmonton guys would be like, fuck your hat.
Like, specifically the hat.
Yeah.
Why would they be so mean to your hat?
Because they're jerks.
You haven't seen the Edmonton guys.
Yeah.
No, I honestly, I don't know if I've met anybody from Edmonton.
Sean McLaren?
Well, you should count yourself.
Sean McLaren? Well, I have not met Sean McLaren.
Oh, okay.
That's all I got. Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah, well. Are any of you guys potentially going to Grand Prix New Jersey?
No.
So I am not a Legacy player at all. Legacy cards.
Is New Jersey far?
Yeah. New Jersey for me is like within the, it's worth an ask. Like, it's within my scope if I decided to make the drive.
It's like a 12-hour drive, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's like 8 or 9. Like, it was about 10 for me to go to Boston.
Oh, okay, yeah, then you can definitely, you know, play with the idea.
I could conceivably drive Jersey. The challenge is like, I literally have no reason to.
Okay.
Yeah. I might actually go, Paul.
Okay.
With zero, I haven't played Legacy since forever, and Hane is like begging me to go to get pro points, and just like he's like, just play Blue Red Delver. I'll teach you on along the way there.
Yeah. Honestly, like, you're doing it wrong if you're not playing with Brainstorms and Treasure Cruise. Like, those are just it's so dumb. Like, the Delver deck was already strong and already had the best blue card in the format, and just got like. The other best blue card in the format, basically. Treasure Cruise is that good, and it's really, really stupid.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah. Scott, are you? Did Wizard send you the giant Magic Online poster?
I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's hanging up. Online poster.
Yeah, it's hanging on the back. The Mardu clan.
Yeah, you know the one with the picture of me like raging out next to the Zergo, the picture that they posted on Twitter. It's that poster, and so they sent that. They sent us all one. I'm just the wife brought it down, and I was like, "Oh, it came." And she's like, "What came?" And I like unraveled it, and I showed her, and she's like, "Oh, wow, that's great. We're gonna have to get that framed." I'm like, "You fucking have any idea how much money it's gonna cost to get that framed?" I'm like,
"That thing is so big.
Can I just laminate it or something?" Like.
Anyways. Yeah, I just hung it up on the wall, and I was like, "Hey, Mike, can you just send me more?" And then he was just like, "Well, if you stream more and post it on the background, maybe." I'm like, "Done, booked. Send me more posters, please."
I have these like tall standees that I turn backwards, for my stream background, because they have like my work logo and shit all over them. Like that's what they're designed for, and the poster's bigger than the standees.
Jeez, yeah,
but
it is large.
But I wonder if it's taller than, that's intriguing. That is an intriguing thought. If that's all it takes to get more posters, well.
Oh, God. Thank God for wireless headphones.
Yes.
Kids are awesome. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay, Kyle. Calm down.
I don't think he's going to have much trouble editing.
So, yeah.
It's a bad joke, but I'm going to run with it for the whole show.
Welcome to Jeremy's contribution to the show.
That's awesome. Ouch. So, Jay, it's funny. You've been, like, shitbagging on Modern for the entirety of the format's existence.
It's so garbage.
And it's funny because your deck, literally now, is the best deck in the format.
Which deck?
It's Blue-Red Delver, but it's Blue-Red Delver.
Oh, yeah, but didn't I already have that epiphany like a year ago when you guys told me about blue-red-white Delver or something?
Yeah, except now you get to play just blue-red, and you get to play Young Pyromancer and Treasure Cruise. So life gets stupid.
Yeah, it's actually insane. Like, it might be possible that, like, Young Pyromancer is the best 2-drop in Modern.
So you remember when we were all... everyone was just like, "Oh, Young Pyromaster or Young Pyromancer, that's the red 2-drop. They're finishing the cycle." Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, "That card's bullshit. It's an uncommon. There's fucking no way it's powerful enough." And now.
Yeah, well, Treasure Cruise was a mistake.
Yeah. I don't expect it to last long in Modern, truth told.
Yeah. We were talking about what's going to be banned, and we feel Jeskai Ascendancy is likely going to get banned. only because like the deck might not even be like that insane because the blue-red Delver deck is, you know, does so well against it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, you know, Wizards always are saying that they have the philosophy, we do not want turn two and turn three kills in Modern. Well, the Ascendancy deck can kill you on turn two. So
yeah.
I think for that reason they're gonna ban that card and then 90% of the decks are just gonna play Treasure Cruise. So yeah. They're probably going to ban that too, and I'm not sure about Dig Through Time. Dig Through Time might make it, but probably not.
So, Dig Through Time is the type of card where, like, it seems super good in Scapeshift.
And Splinter Twin,
right?
Yeah.
But like, and I mean, it's fine in Blue White Red Geist too, as a pair up or whatever, right? But, like in those type of decks, I mean, I think it's a reasonable card. Once you get into, you know, the Treasure Cruise abuse and, like, the raw draw of three, I mean, Ancestral Visions is banned.
Yeah, well, Treasure Cruise is far better than Ancestral Vision. What they might do, what I can foresee, you know, because people like drawing cards, is, all right, we made a mistake. Sorry, guys. Treasure Cruise, Dig Through Time, banned. Ancestral Vision, unbanned. They might do that.
Yeah. I think it's time. Now, the other thing that people are saying is, hey, we should just unban Death Arch Shaman and Bloodbraid Elf.
I think if Treasure Cruise stays remains unbanned, Blood I think Braid yeah, they back. Can definitely unban Bloodbraid Elf.
Yeah.
I feel like Treasure Cruise is just better. Like
yeah.
Ancestral Recall, like oops.
Oops.
Apparently this. Yeah. That's Modern. I have so many things to say about Modern, but I have actually not played a match since Treasure Cruise has been legal.
Yeah.
But just from what I hear, and you, okay, put it this way. Sam Party, I don't know if you guys know, but he's basically the resident expert
on Pod.
On Birthing Pod. And this guy, I mean, he is the master of Birthing Pod, and all he does is 3-1 and 4-0 every Modern daily he plays with the deck. So he decided, he played Birthing Pod, ran it through the gauntlet, and after playing against a million Treasure Cruise decks, he's finally off Birthing Pod. So to get somebody who's so good at a deck and thinks that a deck is, I mean, he thinks Birthing Pod was just by far the best deck in the format, to get somebody like that to get off that deck says a lot about the format and the card Treasure Cruise.
Yeah. And I've been very much the same way. Like, I don't have any interest in playing, you know, nothing but Delvermeers all day and just, like, you know, bitch slapping each other over Treasure Cruises. Like, it's not where I want to be at all.
No.
Caleb's list looked hilarious, by the way.
Which one was that?
So the one that he did videos for this week, and he called it, like, the Boros Solution, right? And it's, like,
oh, that deck. Four
main deck core Firewalkers and, like, Helixes. I was just like, wow, this deck's hilarious.
The funny part, like, the thing with that deck was, basically, if you played against the Pyromancer deck, he's got an okay matchup, yeah. But then, like, he just plays, like, a random control deck. He just can't win.
It's interesting to see people play... People are picking up Soul Sisters, apparently, as a way to combat Delver.
You use a Martyr of Sands to gain, like, you know, 20 life or whatever.
And they can't ever kill you.
Yeah, their deck is playing, like, 8 bolts. Like, and not only that, like... Yeah, some guy was doing well with, like, a Proclamation of Rebirth version of the deck.
Wow. So funny story. So I bought my I played FNM this week. But yeah,
wow.
Instead of Halloween.
Awesome.
Instead of Halloween,
you played FNM?
Yeah. So here's
like, at least I was at a Grand Prix, you know?
Yeah, so here's my story.
Like,
here's my story. I ended up going to my wife, right? Has a sister.
Okay.
And they have a daughter who is really good friends with our daughter and 4 months younger. Okay?
Right.
And it's the first time since both of them have been born that Halloween was on a Friday.
Okay.
So, of course, the 3-year-olds wanted to go trick-or-treating together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems unreasonable.
So you had an extra, you actually had a free day on Halloween
night.
So
we have two dogs.
Yeah.
That weren't able to make it down and stay the night and all of that sort of shit because they just don't travel well.
Right.
So somebody had to stay home and make sure that the dogs are fed and feed them in the morning and let them out and all that stuff. So I volunteered.
Oh, look at you.
So I got to stay home with the dogs. And then, so I like fed them and shit. And then I went out to FNM. So I went down to Face-to-Face Games in Toronto. And I went all dressed up as a Face-to-Face Games employee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That was your getup?
That was my getup. I had a Face-to-Face Games playmat. I used my Face-to-Face Games sleeves. I had the Face-to-Face Games t-shirt. I had a matching white and orange hat that matched the shirt. And I had the same jeans on as everyone else that was there, you know, the whole nine. And I was just there to play Magic and hang out. And it was a good time.
Okay.
While I was there, I bought my daughter a t-shirt because they have, like, children's, like, baby t-shirts that are there. So I got, like, a 4T, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, I totally forgot I had it in my bag. And I told my wife about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I picked this up. And she's like, oh, she'll like it, I hope, and blah, 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 whatever. So I finally remember that I have it for her, and I give it to her tonight. So bath time's done, and I tell her I've got a present for her. And so we're about to do stories, and I, like, come upstairs, and it's all folded up so she can't really see what's on it. And so I like hand it to her. I'm like, here, this is your present. And she goes, oh! And then she opens it up. Oh my God, like the most heartwarming moment of my life. She opens it up and she sees the Canadian flag. And then she gets excited because it's on the arm, right? And then she opens it up and she sees the Face-to-Face logo on the front. She holds it up and her eyes are like as big as pie plates and her jaw is wide open. And she goes, oh, now we match. And she goes, can we play cards? We can play cards now!
Oh my God.
I was just like, completely.
Are you going to teach her how to play Magic?
So she already flicks cards faster than Kibler. So it's weird because I'm just like, my heart is just so full, and she looks at me and she goes, "Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." And she gives me the biggest hug and she's like, "Can we play cards on the weekend?" I'm like, "Yes. Yes, we can." She goes, "Oh, goody, goody, goody." I'm like, "Oh my Lord. Most unbelievable moment ever. Super dad moment."
Yeah, I can't wait till Kyle can start actually talking.
Yeah, super cute. So I think what I'm going to do is with I have to go pick up a microphone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can start streaming a little bit earlier in the day, so I can like come home from work at a
What do you need a mic? What do you need
well,
a mic?
Well, cuz like I use my headset, right?
Uh-huh.
But the idea is that if I use a microphone, then I can stream with my daughter in the afternoon.
Oh, yes. Right. Okay.
Right? And so Lily or We Riot, it's been a hashtag that has been popping through my stream fairly regularly. So I'm just going to have to do it. So I'm going to have to go and pick up like a decent mic and put it on the table. So that way, you know, I can actually have her and we can play and stream and all that jazz. It's funny. She's every time I watch coverage and I watch a stream, she's like, "Oh, that's your friend. That's your friend." So her birthday one year, we're sitting around, you know, it's her birthday party or whatever, and we're just like finally taking a breath. Everyone had gone home, and I pull up my tablet and I open up Twitch, and Tom is streaming with his girlfriend, right? Tom
Martell?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're watching and I'm just typing away and I'm like, "Hey guys," and they're like, "Oh, hey, Scotty's in the chat. How's it going?" I'm like, "Great." I'm like, "I'm just sitting here with my daughter, you know, Lily, it's her birthday." And all of a sudden, the fourth panel moment happens where she's sitting with me and she's watching and they both read it and they go, "Oh," and they wave at the camera and they go, "Happy birthday, Lily." And she fucking jumped like 5 feet out of her chair. She's like, "Can they see me?" She's like waving back and she's like, "Hi, hi." Oh, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. So ever since then, it's just like magic streams and she sees people and she's like, "Oh, that's your friend." Anyways. Yeah, it's just such a moment. She's so adorable. And she's pretty excited. Like the whole magic culture thing. It was like she finally felt like she was on the team. You know? It's like she finally got welcomed into the team. It was just such a moment. Such a moment. So that was the highlight of my week. I got my ass fucking pounded all week on Moto. And
yeah, that was me today.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to next week. Yeah. Legacy Cube, man. Legacy Cube.
Legacy Cube. I mean, I looked at the cards. Like, it looks kind of similar to normal Cube. I don't know how much different it is. I guess it doesn't have, like, some of the older cards?
No swords. No power. I think... Did they cut Jace? They cut Jace, too, right?
But, yeah, this Legacy Cube, I mean, I'm excited. I imagine that it's just going to be kind of... Like, just drafting, it's not going to be that much different. Outside of the fact that they try to tone down mono red a little bit,
yeah,
I'll be drafting my bread and butter.
Which
anything
and butter?
With islands?
Oh yeah, of course anything with islands. But bread and butter is a Magic Online Cube. I think the most success I've had is just drafting some form of a blue white control deck with other colors sometimes tossed in.
Sure,
but that's the most success I've had on Magic Online Cube. Like Power Cube is completely different because you have all the signets and all the other stuff.
Nice.
They're just like telling us to stream this, right?
Yeah, basically we're going to get so we're being invited to one stream or to one cube, right? So there's one draft. They're going to stream it, highlight it, whatever from like 5:30 PST, 8:30 Eastern. And there's going to be eight of us, a bunch of us are streamers, pros, whatever, and then a couple employees
to fill in.
So there's going to be one of them on Wednesday, one of them on Thursday, and I guess it goes live for everyone on the Friday. I think that's sort of the understanding. So we're going to get invited to that event.
Are we allowed to stream the event?
Yes, we're encouraged to do so. Yeah. Okay. So we'll be streaming the event. You guys can check it out on our Twitch pages. It would be, you know, since LSV is going to get all of the hits already, it would be super awesome if you felt like hosting mine. That'd be sweet. I would certainly appreciate the coattail ride.
If I would host you?
Yeah, I would appreciate the host. I
can do that. I don't actually know how to host.
I can teach you. I just found out. It's the sickest.
Yeah, I know like MJ hosts me for some number of viewers.
Nice.
Although he's usually just watching from work, loads up the Twitch and then just hosts me.
Yeah, and that's the way I've been doing it too. Like if I'm watching stuff, like I did that with GP Santiago when I was watching it on the weekend. That was pretty sweet.
Sure.
So that'd be awesome. And then you're on Thursday with a bunch of others as well, like Kenji, and we talked about that already.
Yeah. I will likely be battling Kenji for viewers on that one. Let's see. We have Kibler is also going to be streaming.
Kibler and Frank, Frank Lepore. You said right.
No, Frank Lepore is not in mine. Frank Lepore is in yours.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He's absolutely not.
Frank Lepore, Gabe Real, Scott McCollum.
Fuck off. What am I reading
here? LSV, Marshall Sutcliffe, Noah Sandler. That's yours.
Do they move it around?
Mine, it says Travis Wu, Tom Martell, me, Kenji, Greg Hatch, and Kibler. So.
Huh. Intriguing.
Whatever.
No, I know.
I don't care. I don't care what pot I'm in. I'm just going to crush everybody.
I know you are.
Yeah.
I know you are. Oh, there it is. Okay, I just found it.
Or just lose horribly in the first round like I did in the Community Cup pre-release.
That was hilarious.
Oh, my God. Bjorn!
Yeah.
So
I have schedule 12th is Noah Sandler, Marshall Sutcliffe, LSV, me, Gabriel, and Greg Hatch.
Okay,
Then I have November 13th as Travis, Tom, Paul, Kenji, and Frank.
I have no idea.
And I didn't see Kibler, so I don't know. Fuck,
as long as I'm on the correct day, I don't really care. Like, they just switched like Hatch and Frank, so whatever.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't affect me too much.
Are you guys just like randomly playing in queues, or are you playing against each other?
We're playing against each other. This Legacy Cube is basically not going to be released, and it's like kind of like a sneak peek. You'll get to kind of like see us play it, and then they'll release it, I think, the week after? Something like that?
Yeah, maybe. Either the week after or the Friday or whatever, but yeah. So it's going to be sweet. So there'll be two individual pods, one on each day. Mm-hmm. And then we get treated to, in exchange for our services, we get treated to a couple of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cool. That's going to be sweet.
And a million Phantom tickets.
But so who do you think is going to win your Scott?
It's got to be LSV, right?
Let me see.
So I see the same one that you're looking at now, and for some reason our emails are different, and I fucking don't have a clue. But yeah, it's like Noah Sandler, who I have no idea who that is.
Noah Sandler is just a Magic player from Seattle.
Okay.
But I mean, looking at the pod, it's probably Luis. Although if you just like, you know,
if he tanks the draft and decides to draft something sweet instead of good,
if he decides to draft like the Goblin Slide deck or whatever, then you know, he will
seven drops.
So Marshall, LSV, myself, Gabriel, who I don't know, and and Frank Lepore.
Yeah, I would guess that it's got to be like LSV being the favorite. Mine's really competitive.
I agree.
Yeah, my pod has Kibler, Tom Martell, and Kenji as people that I would consider. Actually, I don't even know how much cube Kenji drafts, but considering
he drafts a lot of cube.
I mean, considering Kenji has basically played Magic every single day for like, you know, 600 days.
Yep.
I'm sure he's tossed in some cube drafts in that time span. Yeah. You know, just a little sprinkling. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Martell's very good at cube draft.
He's super good. Martell is like one of the most consistently publicly underrated Magic players that are on the circuit, I think.
Well, if you ask Martell, he doesn't think he's underrated.
Well,
or if you ask Martell about his play, he'll let you know.
Oh, I know. Tom's a good bro to show, we know.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be good. I'm actually really excited about it.
It should be fun.
It's gonna be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Fun times anyway. But this weekend, obviously, we talked about the Mana Deprived. Jay, do you know what you're going to play yet?
No, I want to play Abzan, but Jeremy's letting me down after telling me he could bring it.
It's terrible.
I'm sorry. Doug Potter's got all the cards. He wants to play Green-Black Devotion.
What the fuck?
And he's going to waste the cards on a terrible deck? Wow.
Maybe he's playing the, the Whip deck.
The Blowhawn Whip deck?
No. Yeah.
No, just... Doomwake Giants and...
Yeah. Like, a whole bunch of green cards and then Doomwake Giant.
Jeremy, you're the worst.
I'm not the worst.
Pros before hoes, man.
Wow. So somehow Doug Potter became a hoe.
He's a super hoe.
Oh. Such hoes.
Yep. What you gonna do?
Yeah. It's not like you guys have done 200 shows together or anything.
Yeah.
No. I haven't. I'm the new guy.
He's the new guy, actually. He hasn't been around for that many.
Oh. Well, then, like, isn't it, like, just kind of like a requirement?
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Like, you must lend all your cards to all fellow casters. It seems like it should be a thing.
What's yours is mine until the aforementioned date.
Literally the only reason he wants to play the deck is because you said it was good.
Yeah, that's what I said. I want to play the best deck.
So is Abzan the best deck?
I mean, it's
I don't know. All the guys at Star City Games were saying Jeskai Heroic was the deck that took it by storm.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like the Jeskai deck, the Jeskai combo deck is supposed to do well against the green decks in general. Now, if that's the case, though, then you might see kind of a shift, because if people are expecting the Jeskai tempo, the Jeskai combo deck with the creatures, then it might be correct to actually just play the Jeskai aggro deck, because all you know that deck's just jamming a bunch of burn spells to deal with all the creatures, and then it also puts a pretty good clock on them. So it might be like a rock paper scissors type thing.
Yeah, I think it really depends on what your play style is, Jay. Like, if you enjoy playing the rock deck. Because Abzan's the rock.
Well, I've never played that before, so.
Yeah, so why do you want to play it?
It's
why
like
are you busting
junk.
My balls?
Because it's best deck. It's the best deck. Oh, Jeremy, my God. I play the best deck.
Also, you really don't have to practice much to like, randomly top eight with the deck. Because it's like, oh, I'm going to Thoughtseize your good card, and then I'm going to kill your creature, and then I will attack you with my Siege Rhino. Like, it's.
This, see? Yeah. This is the reasons.
It's like, did you win? Yeah, I cast like 3 Siege Rhinos. And
yeah, sounds great. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Also, I've played against Siege Rhino exactly one time, and it's fucking garbage to play against. So I definitely want to make sure that everybody I play against.
Him.
Yeah. Like, just like, oh, I cast Siege Rhino. I'm like, ugh. That's what I want to hear from the other side of the table. I want to hear, ugh.
It's true.
Well,
it's
true. If you can get those cards, if you can get Caryatids, Courses, Maladies, Waste, and Confluence,
that's a lot of fucking cards.
If you can get every card.
If you can get every card, he's got you covered.
All the reasons why we can't build that deck, then yes.
What a pro.
It's awesome.
I think you and Doug are in ho cahoots.
Cahoots?
Ho-cahoots?
Why don't you play blue-black control?
Oh, God.
Nah.
Could not do.
Could not do.
Okay, good, because I don't have those cards.
Great.
Jesus Christ. KYT, how was your trip to Hong Kong, brother? You've been, like, super quiet. It's like you haven't even left.
Yeah. I haven't missed any episodes at all, for our listeners at least. It's been great. I went there for 2 weeks, and really just to, you know, people ask me why I'm going, and it's like, I don't really have an answer, because really... it's really my mom really wants me to go with her, and ultimately I do want to see my grandma and my uncle there again, because I rarely get to see them. I've only been to Hong Kong twice, but well, my first time being last year, and just for me, it's just eating food at like really good Asian food at a cheap price that just brings me back there all the time. So I did not go out of my way to spot any magic locations at all. And I didn't even see, like, even in my 2 weeks of going to random stores and malls, I didn't spot any places like selling cards at all. I saw a place selling like Yu-Gi-Oh cards, but I didn't see magic anywhere. So I was still editing the website every hour, like at least an hour a day still at the local coffee shop. So I was a little pissed that, you know, I got your spoiler. I'm like all the way in Hong Kong. I'm getting your spoiler article ready. And some fucker on Reddit just like spoils all the black cards from the commander deck. And I'm just like, my hands are in the air. I'm like, oh, fuck it. So that was disappointing. And to me, like, it was really interesting, though, to see this perspective, because I was active online when, like, Rancored Elf spoiled a lot of cards on MTG Salvation. I didn't really think too much of it as a fan. I just, like, whatever. But now I'm on, like, one of the content producers and just being one of the small sites that the spoiler card is just, like, one of our big days, because it's one of the gifts that Wizard gives, like, all these smaller sites. And it definitely, like, pisses on us when someone spoils them. So it was pretty shitty, but at the end of the day, people supported us and went to the site anyways. And despite like Reddit, sometimes we've been bagging on it. Sometimes it's the community like really supports us when we post something, like when Death Dealer or the card I Got You to Spoil got posted, it shot all the way to number one for most of the day for that nice. Day. So, I'm still pretty happy, about that. And it's a sweet card.
So I guess Reddit might actually be graduating from the armpit of the internet.
I love it. I love it.
It may make its way to Big Toe soon.
Yeah. You know, what's weird is I've never been a big Redditor.
Yeah.
Like, is that the correct? See, I don't even.
Yeah, it is correct.
The correct
it
term,
is
correct. Redditor. Yes.
Redditor. Okay. See. Okay. Glad I got something right. But like, yeah, people are on it all the time, and it's just one of those things. It's kind of like same thing with Twitter. Like, I didn't start Twitter until like maybe a year and a half ago, and I know like 4 years ago Luis was like, Paul, you should tweet. Like, it's really sweet.
So that's how it feels.
Yeah. It's life.
Nice.
Reddit is sweet. I think it's the number one source for of some of my, like, the big traffic days for our site is because of Reddit.
Uh-huh.
Just the way it works. And, you know, Jay's trying to do the same thing, sort of, with the link dump.
MTGlinkdump.com.
The one time I saw something on Reddit was, like, this was Grand Prix Portland, I believe, where I was teaming with Luis and Ifro. And I don't know if you're aware of, there's like an Asian guy who sells a bunch of vintage stuff. His name is like Daniel Chang or something. Okay. And he asked me to take a picture with him with LSV and Ifro. So somehow this picture started getting circulated on the internet. And then on Reddit, it just says Paul Cheon with teammates LSV and Ifro. And it's just a picture of an Asian guy standing next to the LSV and Ifro. I was just like, what the hell? This is not me. I took this picture like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Wow. So
I think the guy took it off because I think he legitimately thought it was me. I've also been mistaken for Shuhei Nakamura.
Good.
And I was also mistaken once in Pro Tour Hollywood for an Asian guy with a ponytail, a tank top, and a dragon tattoo on his arm.
You're kidding.
No jokes. Some guy was just like, is that Paul Cheon? And I'm literally sitting there shuffling cards. I'm just like, you know, like a fat Asian dude. I was just sitting down on the chair, and I'm just like, no, that is not me. That Paul, I'm right here. Yeah. I am, in fact, not the guy with the dragon tattoo and the ponytail.
Wow. Okay, so is like the real gamut now to like go to an event and walk around with your shirt off and see if anyone calls you Travis Wu?
I guess. I mean, you know, they changed that thing for Scott. You know, they changed the rules on Twitch.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did it for us.
Travis Wu. Oh, yeah. Well, it's probably for all the girls, but Travis Wu can no longer Travis Wu. I mean, what will he be now? Like, that was his thing.
You mean his thing wasn't like crazy off the wall absurd decks that caused these ridiculous spikes in the Magic economy? That wasn't his thing.
Yeah, that's also pretty ridiculous. Like,
I thought that was his only thing.
Yeah, well, that is his thing. But that is, you know, somebody did bring that up to me too. They're like, hey, if you really want to increase exposure or get a lot more people to follow you or whatever, like, you know, Travis Wu has a formula. Travis Wu has a formula for you, and I'm just like, you know, I respect what he does, and he gets a lot of following, but it's just not me. I'm just too competitive of a person to ever
prostitute yourself.
Just do stuff like that. Although, see, that's the thing. The one time I got like the most number of hits or the most responses I've ever gotten for any deck that I ever put on Channel Fireball was
Cruel Control.
Cruel Control.
For
right?
sure it was, yeah.
Which is not like supposed to be a good deck, but it's definitely a sweet deck, you know? It's not like, oh man, Paul, great birthing pod video. Yeah. Yeah, you really play the shit out of that deck. Yeah, man. I really liked when you sacked that Kitchen Finks and killed your opponent. You know, and it's like, it's more like casting a Cruel Ultimatum against your Hexproof opponent when it's your only out. That's
so good.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So. You know, calm down, Kyle, ever? Just once? No?
Okay. Yeah, calm down, Kyle. Fuck.
Yeah.
Chill, buddy.
You're just saying too many things. Just keep it down. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm laughing at you.
Yeah.
All right, so Paul, you actually played in Nashville this week.
I did.
And so you were trying to get yourself back on the Pro Tour, or be carried back on the Pro Tour, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, so, you know, obviously I qualified for Honolulu due to the strong efforts by LSB and EFRO. Mm-hmm. We top four the Grand Prix and it qualified me. So, and I had a chance to try to qualify again in Hawaii, and I bombed. I finished exactly one place below LSV,
yeah.
which got 600 likes on his Facebook page or whatever.
Yep. Yes.
But yes, he finished 184th and I finished 185th. The kicker is like he played one less round than me and just disappeared. And I was just like, where the hell did you go? And he still just finished because I just lost the next round very easily. But yes, I played at GP Nashville, obviously with the same team. Cause you know, those guys are very, very good at Magic. And, we did well. We went 11-3. We went 7-2 day one, and we went 4-1 day two. It's only five rounds day two. And prior to this tournament, we were actually undefeated day two in the Swiss.
Wow.
We were 6-0 and 5-0, but I guess you can't win them all. We went 4-1. We actually lost a couple games, I think, because we messed up, which kind of upsets the collective. You know, we know we're going to lose games to Mana Screw or whatever, but when we mess up and we're basically expected not to mess up, especially when we're all talking about a game, that's what kind of, I think, annoyed me. Just like, it's like, oh man, we really could have played this game a little bit differently. But anywho, we finished 11-3, didn't top four. We got ninth place on tiebreaks, so we missed out on like $750. Got three pro points, got 10. Trying to qualify again. I'm actually playing in a PTQ this Saturday. So
wow,
the all grind, right. The grind continues. Because
is this like old school PTQ or new school pre-TQ?
No pre-TQ yet. This is the last, I think, normal PTQ season, and then after these set of PTQs for the next season. So for Pro Tour Washington DC, it's going to be just normal PTQs.
Yeah, and it's PTQs for that, and then Vancouver's the pre-TQs.
Exactly. The
Do you know what the dates are on that? Because like, I would love to go get my free Liliana foil of the Veil.
You have to qualify for that.
No, Aaron. What's his name? What's the famous Magic Aaron? What's that guy's name?
Yes, Forsyth.
Yeah, he said anybody that attends the regional qualifiers.
Yeah,
the regional qualifier you have to qualify for. The regional qualifier is the big tournament. But the thing is like. Any store can hold these tournaments. They're all like going to be like Grand Prix trials. So if you can just find a crappy little store that like, you know, there's going to be 20 people. It shouldn't be too hard to win one of those if you go to enough of them. And then
yeah, unfortunately, as much as like Alberta is very hard to find on the map, we have nowhere near us to really play. So our events are actually just like loaded up all the time.
Ah, I see. So even PTQs are going to get a bunch of people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've got guys who are looking at the calendars who are planning on driving all over the province every weekend playing at a store.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. The good, like, these PTQs definitely help the people who are grinders. So, yes. Like, because the thing is, you know, I've always been on, like, because I haven't won too many PTQs, maybe, like, four. But, like, and that's after playing a ton of PTQs, you know? And I was always under the firm belief that it's so much easier to top eight any given tournament, like by miles, than winning a tournament. Because when you have to just go like 6-1-1, for example, and you're playing people in the Swiss, they're generally going to be worse players, right? Once you're in the top eight, everybody's going to be pretty decent. You're not going to have that much more than a 12.5% chance to win the whole tournament in an 8-man pod, right? If you're good, maybe you have a 20% shot to win. So consider that as opposed to top 8ing an event. Like, you know, playing one of these big tournaments, like, I feel like I can top 8 like half of these tournaments. But winning a tournament, way, way more difficult. So, but that's why if you're going to, if you grind and just play in all these bunch of like crappy little tournaments, I guess you can't do that in where you guys live. But for example, in the California scene, there's going to be a pre-TQ every weekend. So you just keep going. You're eventually going to win one of these 40-man pre-TQs. And then you get to play this big tournament. And if you top 8, you qualify.
Between Edmonton and Calgary, you got about a 2.5-hour drive. There's going to be a couple smaller towns outside of the area that are going to have events. But with the need for the level 2 judge, that actually kind of hurts us because we're pretty remote
in that sense.
So like the Calgary area where Jay is has a good number of L2s. We have a single L2 in Edmonton that's active right now. There's another guy who might come out of the mothballs because they just need them. But like our L2, literally, he posted his schedule just saying, okay, I'm judging this tournament this weekend, next week in that one, next week in that one. We got lots of stores that are willing to host them. But we're just going to burn our guy out.
Sounds like you guys need more L2s.
Well, yeah, that's really the case. It's just the nearest L3 is also in Calgary. And he's not super active right now. So
do you guys know where your like big tournament's going to be held at?
Yeah, ours is in Vancouver. So okay. The regional is in Vancouver as well.
So Vancouver, is that close to where you guys live at all?
That would be like saying the equivalent of Vegas to San Francisco, maybe.
Geez, that's far. Okay.
Yeah.
That's still like, 8 to 10 hours.
14 hours driving.
Oh, 14 hours. Okay. Yeah. That's still very far. So you guys are more kind of in like central ish Canada.
Well, no, we're in the west still. We're north of Montana.
Okay. I got it. I see.
Yeah.
My the only places I've ever been to in Canada is Vancouver and Montreal. So
okay.
Those are,
we're in between those two.
right. Do you guys actually plan on grinding these pre-TQs, or?
I might.
Not anymore.
Like that's the thing is that if I got the weekend off, I'll play. But yeah, I work construction, so I'm 10 days on, 4 days off. So every second weekend kind of I can play, and then I got my little one. Like my daughter is almost 1.5 years now.
It's almost the same as Kyle.
Yeah, actually, yeah, very close.
Nice.
I have a bunch of them that are up near my neck of the woods, and I don't know for sure which stores are going to be running these pre-TQs, but there's a few in particular that I know of, like in the York region area or whatever, that may be worthwhile for me to potentially try to sit in and spike, but definitely won't be approaching the limited ones.
Everyone up to North Bay.
So...
I'm telling you, the secret obviously is finding the Grand Prix trial. Sorry, the pre-TQ that nobody's going to go to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, yeah. There's definitely going to be like a crappy little store that has like a 30-man pre-TQ.
Yeah, like it's with a guy like the random remote L2. That's what you have to find.
Yeah. Now we just have to find where every L2 lives.
And you can do that. They've actually got a map thing with pins.
Oh my
really?
God! I know where you live. Yeah. When are you hosting these tournaments? I know you're going to host a 12-man pre-TQ. Yeah. That's not going to happen as much here, probably. Like, I know for sure, like, if they hold pre-TQs and, like, let's say the Jenna Fireball Game Center gets one, there's just no chance I want to play in that one.
No!
It's just going to have, like, 100 people. Like,
yeah. It'll be like an actual PTQ with terrible value.
Yes. But what I can... Although, what I... You know, what I can see CFP doing is just like adding a large prize pool to it too.
Yeah.
But there are certain groups that got
Sacramento.
Yeah. There are certain groups that got screwed over though. Like the guys in like the Hawaii, like they just don't have a regional PTQ. They have to fly to California.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Or the Alaska guys, I'm assuming too.
Yes, Alaska guys will use the Vancouver one.
Yes.
But they gave it to Vancouver because they didn't give one to Seattle.
Right, okay. And people from Seattle can just drive up.
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing where, you know, all of our middle provinces, like, it's either we take the giant trip over to Vancouver or the trip to Ontario.
Right.
Because we got 3 in Canada.
Yeah. It's weird, right? Like, generally... But I mean, I guess it's probably the same thing in the States to some degree. I mean, there's just such a high concentration of Magic players sort of in the center, you know, the eastern side of North America. Like, there's just so many East Coast players.
You know what? Like, did you hear about their projected numbers for Grand Prix New Jersey? It's like, it was like 6,500. Yeah. That's not a real number.
That's not a real number. No.
Jerry Thompson was like, there's not even 6,500 legacy decks in existence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've got people that really want to be a part of it, then they may bring their modern deck.
I mean, unless there's 1,000 Belcher decks or something, but those aren't actually real decks either, so.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think it just depends on how many people want to go for the spectacle. I mean, I know that Cedric and Patrick were talking about it on Set Talks, and, you know, Patrick's like, hey, you know what, if we can, I think we're easily going to be the largest Legacy GP on record yet.
Well, that I can believe.
I can believe that. Like, I can believe they hit 3,000, like, or just shy, and I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? And Cedric's like, no, we're fucking taking on Vegas. Like, there's no way this is going to get crazy. And, I mean, like, that's lofty.
It's not going to be Vegas. Unless people are just going to be that's the thing. Unless people are just going to be coming with like non-decks, like how many people are there going to be 6,500 decks with Force of Wills in them?
Like, if you're a capable Magic player, this is like absolutely going to be the easiest way to get on the Pro Tour in the next calendar year.
Is it though? I mean, it's got 6,000 people.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, what
at
is
that point
the,
they pay the down everything to like the record, right?
In that number,
I guess. But you, much like GP Vegas, where X2 didn't actually make top eight,
but like, every X2 made the Pro Tour.
But every X2 went to the Pro Tour. Like,
oh,
and that's the point, right?
Marcel Zafra.
So what you're saying is
to the Pro Tour.
So what you're so what you're saying is you're just going to play against. You have just a much higher percentage chance of just playing against a bad Magic player.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or yes. I'm not necessarily saying bad Magic player.
Is at its lowest in a 6,000 person tournament.
Yeah, and I'm not saying bad, just format inexperienced. That's
actually
all.
You know what tournament? Because I'm thinking about going, but it's really expensive because it's Thanksgiving weekend. Grand Prix San Antonio. Grand Prix San Antonio. I told was her last year. 800 people.
Really.
800 people. So that one should be pretty soft top eight. And the all the best players in the world, you know where they're going to be? At the World Championships that weekend. So there's going to be no Reed Duke, no Owen, no Josh Etterlaton, no Martel.
Wow.
No
Chafran.
So
KYT.
That sounds like GP Calgary.
KYT. Yeah, it does sound like GP Calgary.
Or you know, yeah, this is like the only time where I wish I kind of like live like, you know, in South America or something. I mean, those GPs have got to be super soft, right?
I was actually talking to Pedro last night, and I actually think if I'm going to go and like do a destination GP, I'm like snap going to Brazil.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Right? Like, how do you not? Just seems like everybody that I've ever met from there, like I know Willie, I met Pedro, like I met a bunch of the guys, and they're all fucking amazing people.
Yeah.
Like Paulo awesome. Even too, right? Like they're all awesome.
Yeah.
So,
Willie's great.
Yeah. So like if you had a chance to go down there and enjoy the sweet fucking weather, and go and hang out with those guys for a couple days, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, the South America, like, I believe there was, like, a GP in Costa Rica, like, last year. And the top eight was just, like, all Americans.
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody was like, hey, this is probably an easy one to go to.
Was that was that the one that AJ Soccer top eighted too? Or was that was
like
a couple
years every
ago,
American
right?
Top, like Sam Black and...
Yeah.
Yeah, Costa Rica. That was...
2 years ago, maybe?
I think it was 2 years ago. Because I think we had... Wasn't Pascal there too?
Maybe.
Yeah. Shuhei won that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Shuhei's like kind of American anyways. he's on Team CFP, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's good. So what's in the future for you here, Paul? Like what are you doing with yourself? What are you looking to accomplish?
Well, yeah, I have never it's been a really long time, but I really want to get good at Magic. So I really want to kind of get back to a level that, you know, I feel like I once was, and I still don't think I'm there. And I basically, my goal right now is just to do what I can to try to qualify for the Pro Tour. And off to a decent start, got to play in the first one. I actually have 10 pro points. So if I go to a few GPs, I can probably hit silver. and qualify for some others. But I really, really, you know, my ultimate goal is to top 8 a Pro Tour, and I still haven't done that. And that's the one thing that has eluded me for all the different things that I've done in Magic. And until I get there, I will not rest. Yeah.
Nice. You had the fire sort of relit under you.
Yes.
So you had actually, you were here in America for a while, and then you moved out to Curacao, right?
I did.
And that was like a job offer, I guess, at some online gambling company or some shit. What was it?
Yeah, so it was kind of like a big transition phase. Like, I was playing Magic, you know, professionally for like 3 years, and you know, I was doing okay, but I didn't top any Pro Tours, and like, you know, I was getting by. And at some, you know, I was like, what, 25, and I was like, you know, I really need to look to do something else with my life, possibly potentially for a future or whatever. And I was offered the job at Pinnacle, which was in Curacao. A bunch of other Magic players have already took the job. We're talking guys like Kai. Kai works for Pinnacle.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. How much do you pay? I'm like, oh, wow, that's a lot more than I get playing Magic. so yeah, this sounds like a really excellent opportunity. So I felt that there was more of a future there. And I was also kind of getting burnt out with the Grand Prix scene and Magic in general. Because it is a grind. And if you do it for a long time, you start getting sick of it. And I see that. I see that in a lot of the current Channel Fireball members even. You know, like, it seems like it's not as fun for them anymore. And, you know, I took the job in Curacao. I worked there for 5 years, played Magic sporadically. And recently I moved back because I have a son and I kind of want him to grow up in the U.S. I want him to be closer to the family. And now that I'm back in the U.S., I got to play in some PTQs. And let me tell you, the fire is back. I lost it and I got it back. And I think this is exactly how Huey felt.
Yeah.
When he decided to get back into Magic. And I kind of would like to be able to kind of somewhat replicate that. You know, I'm no Huey. He was one of the all-time greats. But I would like to just at least make it back onto the Pro Tour. So that's kind of what I want. And
back on the train, as it were.
Back on the gravy train. Yeah, round one of the Pro Tour, me and Ifro are in the same draft pod.
Yeah.
And Ifro just texts me a picture. And it's just a picture of like some dog food, and the title is just Gravy Train. And I'm just like, yeah, I know you, bro. He's like, Paul, Gravy
Paul.
Train.
Paul. Yeah, Paul.
God, yeah.
So how did that come up?
The Paul thing?
Yeah.
Much like everything else Luis comes up with that's incredibly stupid. He just will say something on my stream that's not particularly clever or funny, and then he will just continue to say it until it catches on. And because he's an incredibly popular personality, people just, you know, basically follow what he does. And so Paul became a thing. Empty the Cheons became a thing.
I love that one.
I like that one too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. There are some good ones, but the Paul thing, really, like, there's nothing clever about this. He just goes, Paul. He says it to the point where I get annoyed and I go, what? And then he goes.
And then he won.
No. And then he looks at me, gives me that goofy smile and just goes, nothing. Like, really? Like, how old are you, man? And this has somehow become a thing.
Yeah.
And now anytime somebody just says the word Paul on my stream or whatever, I don't even have to, it doesn't even have to be my stream. It could be anywhere. Somebody just says Paul. Then the entire chat...
There's
entire
like 12 to 30 of them. Just instantly, yeah, Paul.
The chat becomes useless for 2 minutes. Yeah. If Louis starts it, the chat becomes useless for nearly 5 minutes. It is unreal. He actually did it today on stream. He was just like, Paul, 3 times. All he had... three times. Third time was a charm. All of a sudden, a cascade of Pauls on my chat. Like, yeah. No, there was no, just nothing constructive for like the next 3 minutes. It was ridiculous. But
man.
You know, there are the ups and downs. Luis does draw a crowd. He's obviously a very, very close friend of mine. But yes, I just sometimes, I mean, it's all that success he had in Magic. It finally culminated into him being able to be his true self, which is the ultimate troll.
The ultimate troll.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yep.
So you're streaming a lot.
I am. I'm streaming Monday through Thursday. 6 hours.
11:30 to 5:30 p.m. And I'm actually looking to stream also on Friday. That's kind of the time span where I can do my stream, I can go to the gym, and then I can go pick up my son.
Sweet.
So I'm doing that. I want to do Fridays, but I don't want to guarantee Fridays because I plan on playing on Grand Prix as well. So yeah,
so like you can't you on travel days you can't play.
Exactly. So, but Monday through Thursday I'm basically locked in. So nice. Doing that 11:30 to 5:30 on my channel, of course. Twitch.tv/helm plug.
Yep. They're always shameless. It's okay.
Yeah. You know, the viewership is growing, and it's really fun because it's one of those things where I get to play a ton of Magic and get better at Magic, which is what I want. And I can also, kind of get by doing it. Right now, it's still kind of in the growing stages. But, I kind of want to see where this goes for maybe a month or two.
Yeah.
And then, if it goes well, I'll continue doing it. If not, I'll be looking for something else.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, it's always a good show.
Yeah,
I know you've been playing. You mentioned you've been playing a lot of Limited lately, but the constructed stuff is good. I actually I was watching a lot of your streams when you were in Curacao.
Yeah, I started that up a little bit. You mean when I was like drafting Modern Masters and stuff?
That and like testing Modern Jund and stuff too.
Yes. Yeah, I did a lot of. I definitely did a lot of that. People really love Modern.
It's a great format before Treasure Cruise. It's like this greatest hits format where you've got these really good, powerful, decks with personality. You've got Jund, and like if you play Jund, you are a Jund person. That's who you are. It's who you become. If you're a Soul Sisters player, like you are a piece of dog shit on my boot. Hexproof. But they own that. They know that. You go, okay, well, like Swamp, Thoughtseize, and they giggle and put their hand on the table. They know you're gonna hate this. That's why they play the deck.
Agreed. Yeah.
So I just think that's
the
thing. Nice.
There were so many viable decks in Modern.
Yeah.
And now it's changed a bit, and we'll just have to see where it goes. I mean, it's going to be played at Worlds. Modern is one of the formats, so we will get to see. Like, I would be very surprised if, like, not 80% of the field is playing a deck with either Treasure Cruise or Dig Through Time. I would be very surprised.
Yeah.
Or both. Yeah. I mean. Like all the Pyromancer decks are going to be playing Treasure Cruise, and all the combo decks are going to be playing
Dig. Yeah,
Dig Through Time. So, yeah.
Card's super.
Even Willie Edel, the Jund Master himself,
played four color junk with Treasure Cruise.
He's like, I don't got no time for no Dark Confidants. I'm just going to play Ancestral Recalls in my deck instead.
Yeah.
It so seems dumb. Reasonable.
Yeah.
He's now playing just straight up fucking four Siege Rhinos in his Jund deck. Or in his junk deck, in Modern.
That's so crazy. Like, Siege Rhino just doesn't seem like a good enough
Siege Rhino is absolutely good. Okay, so think about this. Okay, so let's talk about Charmogoyf for a minute, in Modern. Okay, yeah. Super good card.
Right.
90%. So if I had to break down the three most common powers and toughness for Charmogoyf, it's 3, 4, 4, 5, and 5, 6.
Okay.
Agree?
Okay, sure.
Okay. So of those times, it's probably like 25% of the time it's going to be a 5-6.
Okay.
Maybe it's 20%.
Yeah, something like that.
Sure. But then, like, probably if it's 20%, 30% of the time it's going to be, maybe 35% of the time it's going to be the 3-4. The rest of the time it's going to be sitting on the table as a 4-5. The initial ones, the early ones, are always going to be, spending more time at 3-4, but by the time you get to mid-game to late-game, like, these things are easily just 4-5 most of the time.
Right.
And they all die to Abrupt Decay.
Yeah.
So, Siege Rhino hits the table, drains for 3, and then becomes a 4-5 trampling Charmogoyf.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good creature. Like, the thing is, like, really, like, there are really, like, I played Jund for a while, too.
Yeah.
There just really aren't any good 4-drops. Like, you have Huntmasterer, you have Olivia, Voldaren. None of those cards are, Olivia's just a little bit too slow. Huntmaster just, gets bolted. It could be correct that Siege Rhino is the best 4-drop in the format, and that's why Willy's playing it.
And it clocks your opponent and gets you life back for more card draw.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like, I don't know how many 4-drops I want to be. Like, Siege Rhino might be the correct 4-drop to play. I just don't know if 4 is necessarily like the correct number.
2 might be the right number.
2, 3, yeah. Like...
There were certainly 3 on the table in his tweet when he posted a picture of the board.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like you, let's say you're playing against like a Splinter Twin deck. Like, do you just want your hand to be just full of Siege Rhinos? Probably not.
Probably not.
Right? Yeah. So...
But, I mean, Splinter Twin also is falling out of the format, too.
Why would Splinter Twin be falling out of the format?
It's just, when was the last time you heard of Splinter Twin doing fucking anything?
Well, that's just because people don't know how to play the deck.
Modern tournament.
What's that?
We haven't had a modern tournament.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the thing. There hasn't been big modern tournaments. The Moto meta game is kind of stale. Like, people just kind of tend to play the same things. There's not that much innovation until you see GPs. Like you don't see a lot of Ascendancy combo decks do well on Moto, but I think it's a real deck.
Yeah. At Boston was a pretty good indication. Like, I didn't play against Twin once.
Right.
And there was no Twin in the top 8. And when I was talking to Larry and Jason both, like, I think Jason played against it once in, like, round 3 of day 1. Right? But, like, I don't really recall really even seeing Twin decks on day 2.
Twin is not a very popular deck, I think. But I think the people who do play it, a lot of the time play it, like, even in the PTQs that I played at, Twin was not a heavily played deck. I played a Twin player in the finals of that PTQ. He beat me, but that's what happened. Todd Anderson also won a PTQ with Splinter Twin. So it's still a deck. And I still, I don't, like, with Dig Through Time, I don't see why Splinter Twin is a bad deck. Like, I feel like it's still, like, when I play the Splinter Twin deck, I treat it more like an aggro control deck. You got your bolts, you got your Snapcaster Mages or whatever, and you can just kill them with Snapcaster Mages, Vendilion Clicks, and Burn Spells, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, well, now, because, like, you couldn't just reliably find the combo a lot of the time. But now you get to play with Dig Through Time. So you have all these cheap cantrips, you have these Serum Visions, you have these bolts, and all of a sudden, after you stabilize the early game, now you can just search for the missing piece of your combo and just win the game. So it seems like Dig Through Time is excellent in that deck. I'd probably play 3 copies of it.
Yep.
And, you know, this is coming from a guy who's... I've played Splinter Twin and Jund, and I think both of them are good.
It's interesting because a lot of people from Splinter Twin lately have been carving... They've been, like, going away from... Cataxian Probes and, like, the peak effect. Like, the peak effect is sort of cutesy. But, I mean, if you're going to be running, like, a full three pack of Dig Through Times, like, those decks are going right back up to fucking 4 Cataxian Probes.
Yeah, true. And it's even possible, like, I don't even know if it's necessary, but, like, you know, stuff like Cataxian Probe, not Cataxian, like, maybe Thought Scour becomes a thing. Because being able to cast a Dig Through Time, like, on turn 3 might be awesome.
Paul, I mean, turn 1 fetch land. Okay?
Turn 1 fetch land.
Turn 1 fetch land, Thought Scour.
That's 4 cards.
Yeah. And then you untap fetch land Cataxian Probe and you've got a turn turn 2 Treasure Cruise. Like, that's gross.
Yep.
Ugh.
Card was a mistake. I feel like I heard that originally it cost like 9 or 10 mana.
Really?
Maybe it was 9. Yeah.
Cruise or Dig?
But I think Cruise.
Yeah.
But that's probably correct. 8 I think it's a little cheap.
It's hilarious that we're talking about this. I think this is the most ludicrous discussion that we could ever possibly envision ourselves having.
I remember us talking about Delve and me being like, no, seriously, guy, these cards are really good. And you guys are like, it's 8 fucking mana.
Yeah. I did hear something really, really funny from Owen Turtenwald at the GP. Apparently, Andrew Cuneo made the claim that if you shaved 5 mana off of Necropolis Fiend, it would still be unplayable in Modern. And then Owen is like, are you kidding me? Turn 1 fetch land, turn 2 fetch land, 4-5 flyer? Like, I was like, how could you even make that claim? Shave 5 mana off of Necropolis Fiend? Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho.
He's still not that good anyway.
2 mana, 4-5 flyer. We're talking about Siege Rhino.
2 mana, 4-5 flyer is fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, like...
Necropolis Fiend itself was not good, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The return you're getting on the investment's bad. They couldn't have just reprinted Tombstalker, huh? Like...
Yeah, Tombstalker would be good. Tombstalker is modern legal.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's like,
but like,
would you rather have a 5/5 flyer or draw 3 cards?
Why not have a choice?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to see what they do with Fate Reforged. Those two spoilers are pretty gross that we got at the last, I guess it was PAX Australia or whatever the hell it was. Uh-huh. And so there's two spoilers. One is a Black Wrath for Black 3, and it says you choose one, destroy all dragon creatures or destroy all non-dragon creatures.
So, like, it's just a wrath, basically?
Yeah. But, I mean, like, if we're going to get some sweet fucking dragons, then it could be really good.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
A black
red dragon deck. Yes. Yeah.
So the other one I'm really really excited about is and this sort of like you said, Jared, kind of like hints to the next mechanic.
Yeah.
Is I don't remember what her name is, but it's basically like another
Yasova
Dragonclaw. So whether that's like Surak's wife or daughter or whatever, but so she's a green 2 for a 4/2 trample.
Alpine Grizzly.
So she has the ability where before you attack, you may pay hybrid red-blue 1, and then you get to threaten a creature with power less than hers until
really?
End of turn. Yeah.
Yeah. That Run it back. Good.
That seems pretty darn good.
Yeah. So Teamer's getting a new toy or green red or whatever, and you know you'll see these in some numbers. The 4 of Boon Satyrs are going to change, you know, but like being able to just like play this creature, untap, threaten your blocker or threaten your huge guy, attack you with both, like she's going to put in some work. So sure. I'm excited because that means hybrid mana is potentially coming back for Fate Reforged.
I mean that's not totally surprising, like, but it is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it'll be sweet. And then the neat question is going to be if they're going from like the multicolor wedge set and then in Fate Reforged, everything's all getting fucked up and jumbled up and that's what creates hybrid mana, then what's the world going to look like when they restraighten, right? That's the question. So it's interesting because if you look at the way that they sequence the colors on like the junk cards today, on the Abzan cards, they're sequenced differently in mana symbols than like the previous ones. So we were to take a look at like Teneb the Harvester, for example, like his mana symbols are in a specific sequence. And if you look at like, I think black's in the middle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you look at all the Abzan cards from Concentrarch here, the white symbol's in the middle.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So, and fundamentally they say that's because the clan is anchored in white.
Okay.
So what happens to Abzan if they're all of a sudden anchored in black?
No idea.
Right.
No idea.
Right. But like, and so then it, like when you think about junk decks, right, and what you can do in those colors and from a color pie perspective, that's exciting. Right? Like you could get like a just totally different thing. So we could actually end up with like 10 different wedge
evil
plants.
Abzan.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jerry, your website's gonna have to get bigger.
Evil. What the evil Abzan.
Speaking of websites getting bigger, mtglinkdom.com is live and is actually getting hit.
Good.
Is that a website?
It is. Go to it right now.
What does it do?
So a long time ago, like, are you familiar with the concept of like link dump sites, Paul? Like what that means?
Not really.
Are you familiar with Reddit?
I am not a Redditor, so I would not.
But you do know that there is a website on the internet called Reddit, and people go to it.
Yes, I am aware of those things, yes.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to tell my story for me, new guy.
No.
Okay.
new guy who won't lend old guy cards.
Yeah, fucking asshole. For sure.
I think
of a magic card. It costs 2 and 2 red. It deals 4 damage. That's just what I'm doing.
Yeah. But yeah, so link dump sites are like basically just aggregates of content online. And they're great for people like me who don't want to go to all your stupid websites all the time that you constantly tell me to go to. I can just go to these websites, and it has all these links of whatever I'm interested in, and then I can choose which ones I want to go to. Like, one of my favorite link dump sites, which has actually, like, gotten fairly super shitty recently, is gorillamask.net. So it used to just basically it's like it looks like a Twitter feed. Like it's just it's like the link is just like it's like the 50 funniest puns on the internet, and then a naked lady, and then South Park made a perfect beer commercial, and then 30 hot photos of Emma Stone, and then 6 people who turned their homes into death traps. Like, it's just a list of things. So if I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to see hot ladies, click. Oh, I don't care about hot ladies, whatever. Move to the next one. Oh, shotgun house. I'll go to shotgun house. Cool. Let's see what this is. Oh, the guy shot himself with a shotgun because he rigged his whole house up with shotguns and then, of course, died because he's a stupid redneck. Interesting story. So, like, 2 years ago, I told KYT to make mtglinkdump.com where you can go. I mean, you're on the internet right now. You could go to it right now if you wanted. But it's where you can go there, and it's basically this thing. So I don't have to go to Channel Fireball and read all their articles and see what I like and don't like, and I don't have to go to Star City Games, and then I don't have to go, like, I don't have to go to all these different places. I can just go to mtglinkdump.com.
And MTG then linked up?
Linked dump. 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 Like, turds.
Who?
Like dump. I'm dumping all my links on you. Yeah.
mtglinkdump.com/stockdumps?
Nope. Just mtglinkdump.com.
Okay.
And then, yeah. So, as you can see here, we have some Star City Games articles. We have actually quite a few Star City Games articles.
It's just all Mono Star City.
Yeah, Mono Star City.
Dude, and where's the Channel Fireball? Where is it?
Well, see, and we have been discussing that recently. I have some secret partners that I'm working with. Some secret, some not so secret. And we're working together, and somebody brought up, hey, why don't we have any fucking Channel Fireballs? And apparently, because I'm not the brains behind – I mean, I'm the idea man and the hype man, but I'm not the typey, nerdy man.
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of like a Pokemon. But they said that it has something to do with Channel Fireball's RSS feed. I don't know what any of that is. So
they are here, like 3 days ago. You've got like Channel Reader Rabbit, Raging Levine, Channel Conley, Owen's a Win. Like those all went up.
Yeah, and then we got some Mothership ones too, and we're just working on the links. This site has been up for like a week, I think.
Yeah, I think on average Star City also just puts up more stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why it like floods the website. Yeah.
So yeah. So we're just starting to like work on trying to figure out like a format that we like and stuff like that. But suck at KYT. I did it.
Huh. Nice. Look at this. Yeah. Oral. There's like limited resources here. All kinds of stuff. Shit, you guys are on here. Your podcast. So these are the big podcasts.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, I've never been like a podcast guy.
It's too bad. So, you're like, good at it.
Oh, yeah. I could just make my own one. Oh, Sed Talks, MTG.
Holy shit, okay. There's an ad for monoprice.com on our website. Fuck yeah.
I have an ad for Amalfi Apartment Homes.
Nice.
Yeah. Amalfi. Isn't that in Italy? That's like where I had my honeymoon. Maybe I, whatever. All right. Yeah, I'm going to check out this website now.
So ooh, when did you meet your wife?
I met my wife while I was in Curacao. So we had mutual friends in Los Angeles. And because there are no Korean girls in Curacao. So I had to import mine. Yeah. So we hung out. Like I took frequent trips to, LA because that's where I'm from. So we'd hang out. And I got her to come over. And we hit it off. We had a distance thing for a bit. And then I got her to eventually moved to Curacao with me. I got her a job actually with Pinnacle, and
nice.
It was cool. I basically was just like, hey, if you want me to come back, my girlfriend at the time would also need work because I've tried the distance thing in the past and it didn't turn out well.
No,
so I need to actually physically be with the person. So I was, and they're like, all right, yeah, we can get her something, probably in customer service or whatever. And she moved to Curacao and then got married.
Nice.
She was, so initially it was customer service, but yes, she was in localization marketing. Yes,
as she's telling you. Good.
She's telling me right now. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. so sorry, I still don't know exactly what localization is, but
isn't that where you like
still love you baby
translate it but like make it actually sound like it's from that place?
What'd you say?
Isn't that like translating something, but also like
that was
adjusting
so aggressive.
It? So,
That was so aggressive. What'd you say, bitch? What'd you say?
What'd you say?
What'd you say to me? That's
actually exactly what it is. Yeah, she did do translating.
Yeah, it's translating, but it's translating in and making it sound like it's from that place, because you can translate things terribly, which is what you see on the internet every day.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's translating it and then rewording it so it actually makes sense in the native, in that language, so it sounds native.
She did a lot of that, and apparently a bunch of other stuff too.
Cool.
So, yeah. But yeah, while I was living there, I'm fairly confident I was the only Korean person on the entire island. Curacao has a population of 140,000 people, so not that big.
Not that big. So, where are we at now, kids? What's next? Have we found J cards yet? Is this still not a thing?
I don't know what he wants to play.
Paul, I always had a curious question, because you became during your first run, that was before when I started to follow Pro Magic, and then a lot of my friends that have played before, like when you came back, told me about you, and like what they would praise you and say, like at one time you were better than LSV.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I want to know if you think it's true, and what do you think made him become, like, at one point he became the current best player in the world, and one of the best players of all time. Like, how BDM, or maybe Flores would say, it's like Kai to Finkel to Nassif, and I think LSV is right after that or something like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's definitely in the conversation. He's in terms of just ambassador for the game, I think he's just hands down number one. Like, he's just done so much for Magic. He didn't dominate the way Kai did or Finkel, but in his like 3-4 year span, he was the hottest Magic player in the world, and he was the best player, and I definitely cheered for him. It's been just an amazing ride. I've said this before. My proudest Magic moments will, until it happens to me, my proudest Magic moment of all time was when I got to see and watch Luis win the Pro Tour. And it's a funny little story. Prior to this Pro Tour victory by Luis, and this is Pro Tour Berlin, Luis was actually having a terrible season. He was level 7. He had maybe like 15 pro points or something going into the second to last Pro Tour of the year. And he was struggling. He would not day 2 some GPs. And, you know, he came up to me and just had a talk, because we had a nice little split. And he was just like, Paul, I don't understand. Like, do you think I'm playing poorly? Like, that's how low his confidence was. He's like, do you think I'm playing poorly? Like, what's going on? Like, why can I not do well in these tournaments? And I'm just like, dude, I play with you all the time. You know, we've been playing Magic for several years now, and I think you're one of the best players in the world. We play, you know, I'm confident that if you keep playing, you're going to do well. Do not worry about it. And
where were you, though? Is this after your first, like, sort of retirement, or?
No. This was when I was also doing well.
Okay.
So, but this was the phase, because, you know, a lot of people say that and I don't believe it, but I was having more success than Luis when we first got into Magic. Mm-hmm. Because I top eighted like 4 GPs in like a season. I hit level 8 or whatever. Like I was like doing like what Owen and Huey was doing like a couple years ago. But so I was level 8. He was level 7. So the following year, I picked up maybe another top 8 or whatever, and he was struggling. And then we had that talk, and then he wins the Pro Tour. But as far as just at the time when I played, I feel like there weren't too many people better than me. No. I think I was one of the best players out there. I don't think I was the best player. Like, I felt that I was, you know, on even ground with guys like LSV. And that confidence just came from me playing all the time and having all the success to back it up. But that was lots and lots and lots of Magic and nothing else. I don't know if you saw old pictures of me, but all I did was eat and play Magic.
Someone tweeted a picture of you.
Yeah, just tweeted a picture. Luis, I was like, man, I'm having a really bad day. Like, you know, I'm sick. I'm not feeling good. I drafted a horrible deck. Like, I just feel really bad today. And Luis is like, here, this will make you feel better. And then he posts a video of like Fat Cheon in GP Columbus, and I was like terrible at doing interviews. I was kind of awkward, and I was very fat. And the whole time, yeah, I'm just like 220 pound Paul Cheon. And between like every sentence, I would just said the word, you know. I think if you actually try to count the number of times I said, you know, in that 10-minute interview, it was probably close to 100.
Wow.
You know? And he was like, yeah, this is going to definitely make you feel better. It's like, what a jerk. But yeah, it was good times. Like it's kind of crazy. Like I would never have expected, like I moved up with him. We became roommates and we just played a ton of Magic together, but for both of us to have success at the same time, just kind of living the dream, it was awesome. And we talk about it all the time. You know, we reminisce about things that we did in the past. And it's crazy how it's been 5 years since I actually played Magic competitively, because it doesn't seem that long. But at the same time, you know, all this the whole time Luis is doing well, I'm just rooting for him. And all those tournaments that I wasn't playing in, I was basically just living vicariously through Luis. And when Luis has success, that's all I care about at the Pro Tour. Even when I wasn't following it, if I saw Luis top in a Pro Tour, I'd watch. And I think part of the thing that made him have so much success after I left, you know, Mike Jacob has a saying, basically he absorbed all my powers and just became a super beast of a Magic player. But honestly, you know, it has to do, you know, honestly, it has to do with the fact that, the super teams.
Yeah.
That's something that kind of Channa Fireball or the group of guys with Luis, kind of started. The teams like that existed in the past and they had a ton of success. Look at Phoenix Foundation, for example. That's kind of old school, but that's Kai's team and they won every single team Pro Tour. And you know why? Magic Online didn't exist. They were the three best players in the world, and
they played together.
They played together, right? So they follow that same mold. That's what we did for Pro Tour Berlin. It worked, right? We tested with Olivier, Guillaume Wafotapa, like all those amazing French players, and we got the Elf deck, and Luis won the tournament. So they're like, hey, this is a pretty good formula. Let's keep doing it. So then they started making these super teams that, you know, preparation weeks ahead, they were really trailblazing how you should be testing. Now everybody does it. All the teams do it, which is kind of why maybe you see Channa Fireball not having as much success, because all the teams are doing the exact same thing. You're getting a collection of guys who are committed to the game, who want to do well. They're meeting up 2 weeks ahead of time to test Magic. When you have a bunch of guys, smart guys, meeting up 2 weeks ahead of time to play Magic, like how much better is Channa Fireball going to be than that team, right? I don't think that much, because it's all the same information. These guys are not bad players. The reason why Channa Fireball had so much success was because of the fact that they were doing all this extra extensive testing that none of the other teams did. And that's kind of what, not to mention, of course, that Luis is just a great Magic player. But that plus all the preparation kind of helped him have all the success that he did.
I mean, like, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, everybody on that team is an exceptional Magic player. Like,
of course.
Everybody's very good. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. Like, it definitely puts everyone at an advantage,
right,
over the competition when they're the only ones drinking the right Kool-Aid.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can't imagine what it would be like for somebody, some guy who, you know, you qualify for your first Pro Tour and you just don't know anybody and you can't play test with the super teams. Like, you're at such a huge disadvantage, because anytime there's a Pro Tour, like, the format's completely new, right? It's like a new set came out. You guys are the ones who have to innovate in the format. And when you're a guy with not a big team, it's really daunting. It's really difficult. And you know, you have to try. Like, that's the key. If you want to have success, you have to try to find a way to get onto a team. How do you do that? I don't know.
Success.
You know how I did it? I'm friends with Luis. That's what I did.
It's who you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's one thing you guys should all know, of course.
Yeah.
Life is all about your connections, man. It's, you know, education, sure, everything, but really, it's about the people you know. It's very, very important.
Hook me up, Sal.
Yeah, somebody hook me up. Not fucking Jeremy, though.
Get him his cards.
Only
man.
One deck in this standard format, folks.
That's right. The best one. Like, why don't you try to convince Doug Potter to play some of your garbage?
Because I offered to get you a deck like last week. You didn't want to jump on it, and then something.
That's not true. I said yes. Just whatever the best.
You said, "Oh, I'll go if I can get a deck." And I'm like, "What do you want to play? I'll lend you the cards." And you said shit all. You said nothing.
And rewind it because I'm pretty sure I said, "Yeah, I'll play whatever the best deck is."
You know what? It's so obvious that Cheon's Kyle could even like confirm that story.
I don't want to bring my son into this.
Yeah. What did you say? What did you say?
Oh, man.
Good times.
Awesome. So, Paul, there is a fantastic tradition that we like to uphold here on the A-Team.
All right.
And it is our favorite time to date.
And everybody just fucking cops out on it lately.
There have only been a few people. Shaheen Sarani consistently delivers the best stories.
And so does Boats. Yeah.
And so does Boats. Conley Woods and Shaheen Sarani deliver consistently the best scumbag stories.
Scumbag stories?
Yeah. So what we're looking for are stories in which either you got scummed by someone else.
Preferably that.
In, like, dramatic fashion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or where you yourself scummed an opponent and you can come clean on it.
Okay. All right. So...
You're not limited to one.
All right, so I guess I can maybe give you a couple.
All right.
So this is involving me. You can take this one for how you will.
Okay.
But this is Nationals. The year I make the Nationals team, I believe, is 2008. This is the one where I got third place, Mike Jacob won.
Mm-hmm.
We are on the national team, but I'm playing against somebody for the top eight of Nationals. If I get a draw, I'm locked into the top eight. If he gets a draw, he's 50% basically to make top eight. It depends on how the matchups play out. And he knows who I am. And at this point, this is like me at the height of... This is kind of a big deal, right? This is me at the height of my powers, right? It's like
before it's like, MJ ate your soul.
The height of my powers.
Yeah, this is... I'm LSB, all right?
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, okay?
I am LSB.
Yeah. Yeah. But far better looking. So yeah. I'm LSB. And The guy is just like, oh, okay, so yeah, what should we do? And I'm like, well, I looked at the standings. If I draw, I'm in. If you draw, it's close. I don't know. I legitimately did not know. And I was just like, but you know, if you want to just break it down on a numbers thing, it's like, well, you know, if we play, what do you think the percentage is? Like, what is your match win percentage if we just play out a match? Because I want to die roll. And he's just like, yeah, but you know, if I'm not in, like. Yeah, like, you know, I guess we should play. And I'm just like, all right, that's fine. Like, I'm okay. If you want to play, I respect that. That's all good. So we're about to play game one, and he mulligans to five.
Oh, God.
And I'm just like, all right, well, you're mulliganing to five. Like, do you still want to draw? Like, I will still...
Flip your cards.
I was like, I will still offer the draw. And he's just like, well, I'm mulliganing to five. The chance of him winning the match on a mull to five... Like
on the draw.
Like, I don't know how good he was, but let's say I'm like in the dark, like, I don't know, 55-45 against him or something, right? And now he's mulliganing to five. His percent chance of winning that match is probably between 35-40%, whereas his chance to make a top eight with a draw is probably about 50%. So, you know, I was just presenting it to him in a statistical, like, hey, what do you want to do? Do you still want to draw? And he's just like, yeah. And then he's just like, yeah, I guess I'll draw. And then he got ninth place. And I felt really bad.
Oh.
Yeah. He did. He ended up getting ninth place. But
and what was he playing? Like, what was the matchup? Would you have crushed him? Or was he, like, potentially a bad matchup?
I mean, my hand was, I was playing fairies. Sure. And I had turn two Bitter Blossom in my hand.
Yeah.
Which, you know, but I didn't have, like, a third or fourth land. No. But, like, you know, I had a turn two Bitter Blossom. So that was my hand. Obviously, I'm keeping.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what he was playing. But
sure. No turn one thoughtsies to go along with it, unfortunately.
I'm just saying, yeah. Like, if you're, like, if you're, like, this is, like, your first Nationals and you're playing against, like, a guy who's good and you're mulliganing the five, like, it's reasonable to consider a draw there, I think. But, yes, he got ninth place and I felt bad. So that's me being a scumbag.
Sure.
All right. Now, there have been multiple times where I've been scummed. Which ones are you? Do you want to hear about?
Like the worst, greasiest.
So the greasiest one yet. The one that like you almost had to take a shower afterwards, or you almost had to ask to be escorted out because you were going to kill this person.
Okay, so I'm sure a lot of you guys already kind of know about this. It's been on Twitter or whatever, but this was Pro Tour Honolulu.
Yep.
Pro Tour Honolulu round. Four, I believe. I get paired against Alex Bertoncini. And I've only heard things. I've never, actually really met the guy or played against him, but I've heard stuff. So I'm just like, yo, this is kind of annoying because now I have to play somebody and I have to just kind of be on top of everything that he does. Just because, I just heard things, but I don't know. Yeah. Right. So then we're playing and he's playing Jessica Tempa. I just have the nuts both games. So turn one, I'm playing Jeskai's Ending's Come. I just combo him off. Game two, I have the nuts again. I'm about to beat him, and he can't really do that much. So I have in play a Sylvan Caryatid with a Jeskai Ascendancy in play. To ensure that I can go off, I decide to play a second Jeskai Ascendancy. And keep in mind, I've been playing this deck a ton. I've not missed any triggers with this deck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to play Jeskai Ascendancy. He snap negates my Jeskai Ascendancy. He's like, I'll negate your Jeskai Ascendancy. I'm like, all right, fine. My Jeskai Ascendancy trigger is still on the stack, and I would like to resolve it. And he's just like, no, you let me negate your spell. You don't get to negate. You don't get the trigger. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He's like, well, you let me negate your spell, so it's no longer on the stack. You should have announced it. I'm like, well, no, you negated my spell, and I didn't get the chance to put it on the stack.
And so you played out of turn, dick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'm just like, all right, whatever. Let's call a judge. This is ridiculous. Call over the judge. We tell him exactly what happened, and the judge, at this point, the judges obviously know who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And the judges are just like, no, it looks like you're clearly angle shooting here. I am not gonna let this slide. Obviously, the trigger's still on the stack, and then he appeals to the head judge.
You kidding?
Yeah, he appeals, and I'm just like, is this really happening? Like, are you actually doing this? are you kidding me? You're dead. What are you doing? And so we're waiting. And then Toby Elliott, level four judge or level five judge. Right. He comes over and just needs like 30 seconds of explanation. He's just like, no, of course it's on the stack, And he's just like, even if it wasn't you were aware that it goes on the stack, you also need to just kind of be mindful to let him know that it goes on the stack or that it's on the stack. And he's just really confused, doesn't know what's going on. And he's like, no. So he's like, wait, so is it on the stack? And Toby's just like, yes, it's on the stack. I'm giving a 3-minute time extension. And then I proceed to just kill him. And I was just like, I couldn't believe that it happened. I beat him. And I tell Luis the story. And a few minutes later, Luis actually goes up to him and says something. But I don't know if you guys know much about Luis. Luis is one of the least confrontational guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Super nice guy, right? And I'm just like, no. And Ben Stark is like, look at Luis just giving him crap for whatever. I'm just like, no, there's no way Luis would do it. He's too nice. He's probably just saying something dumb or whatever, right? And he comes back, and apparently he told him, he just went up to him, and he's just like, dude, are you ever going to stop? Why are you doing this? And I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe Luis actually went to him and said something. And then I realized actually it's because we're such good friends that he actually went out of his way to make somebody uncomfortable because they were doing something to basically try to scum me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I couldn't believe that Luis did it, but it was pretty great.
Wow.
but yeah, he basically just tried to get me on a missed trigger that neither of us clearly missed.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was a forgotten trigger in a sense. Because you never actually missed it. The game never progressed to a point where the trigger was ever missed.
Right, exactly. It's just like, I negate it. I'm like, well, all right, the trigger still goes on the stack. Like, the trigger's still on the stack, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, but from that point on, I was just like, all right, I have to make sure I announce everything, which is really tedious, but I had to just be like, all right, cast a spell, trigger on the stack. Cast a spell, trigger on the stack. Cast a spell, trigger. Like I thought we were at the point where I could just shortcut it because I've been doing it every single time. That's what I did game one. I was very precise. I did it all the way until I killed him. And then like, why would I miss it in the second game? It doesn't make sense. But that's what happened.
Ridiculous.
There are some other ones, but that's the one that's recent.
Yeah. Yeah. And he is, of course, now no longer with us.
Yeah, I don't know how much of the things that he did at the Pro Tour contributes to that, because there were several other instances of sloppy play where he tried to, I believe, unmorph morphs without the appropriate mana,
Right
color.
Yeah.
He tried to unmorph morphs without the right color of mana, try to cast sorceries as instants, stuff like that, which I think some of that really is the fact that he's just a sloppy player. But
lot of it is to build coverage, though. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, not coverage, but it's to, like, give himself cover.
Yeah, I guess. Like, by playing sloppy, you could also maybe get away with other things. I don't know.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. Like I said, I really want to give people benefit of the doubt, but there's just a big track history here. And the fact that he tried to get me not by actual cheating, but more like trying to get me on a, you know.
Yeah, he went fishing.
Yeah, that's basically what happened, which is far worse. Like, well, actually, it's not far worse. Cheating is actually the worst thing you can do. But it obviously just, like, you're not gaining much here. And now, like, I'm just going to think so little of you after the match. You know what I mean? And, like, you're just destroying connections, like, as you go. Like, why would you do that?
I always wonder who guys like his friends are. Like, there's a point where, like, if somebody said, like, oh, Scotty cheated me at a PTQ, there's a point where I would be like, I don't think so, man. Like, but eventually, I would have to just be like, Scotty, what's going on, man?
There's no way Scott just keeps beating me, right?
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Paul.
I don't know. No, Scott was good. Scott was good. We won some really tight matches.
We did.
At the Community Cup. Some real, real, real close ones. Honestly, I'm not, you know, like, that tournament was probably the most fun I have had in a Magic setting. It was just the sense of camaraderie. It just felt like a vacation because Wizards treated us so well. Like, it was just amazing the way the tournament and everything was run.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. I don't think anything's going to top that, honestly.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was definitely the crown jewel, I think, of my Magic playing career.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't have aspirations for top 8 of a Pro Tour, you see. So.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Okay. I mean, you qualify for a Pro Tour, maybe you'll change your tune.
KYT qualified for the Pro Tour, so we've already got the pro on the show.
You qualified for DC, or is it like an older
for DC?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How did you qualify?
M15, the very last M15 PTQ, so the under the old system. So I'm happy I did that. So I never have to think about that, because, man, it was really hard.
He was doing the consistent top 8 thing and just
finally broke through.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, that's great. Like, that's kind of where I'm at now. So gotta win. I've lost in the finals twice this year. In like six PTQs, so.
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's the grind, man.
Magic players are so much better than they used to be.
Yep, I agree. Well, I mean, we've got so much more stuff going on, right? Like, we've got access to so many different things, and.
Oh, yeah, the internet, Magic Online, just.
God.
The average Magic player is a million times better than they were, like, you know, even like 8 years ago.
Yeah, and it's just the dissemination of information.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you no longer have those, like, wow, what is that deck? You know, oh my god, I have no idea what you're doing, and you just get crushed by your opponents because you had no idea what their deck was doing, or, you know, oh, I didn't even know that interaction was a thing.
Yeah, there's very, very, very little surprise decks.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, all right. So do we have anything else we want to cover with Paul before we wrap this up for the night? We've had a pretty good show tonight, actually.
We talked about a bunch of things.
Used and stuff. Things. And stuff.
Things and stuff. Stuff, stuff yeah. And things. Stuff. Is this something we missed? Like, I think we covered everything, right? If there's nothing else that happened that we haven't already talked about. We've got World Championships coming up. The...
Did you hear what they're doing for Vintage Masters? They're actually making...
Yeah, what we thought was going to happen.
Well, for us, but they're doing it for them. Oh, God. They clearly should have done it for us.
Clearly should have done it for us, and then let us keep them.
Yeah, well, who opened the Lotus? It was Aaron, right? Yeah, Forsythe, Aaron Forsythe. Yeah, he opened the Lotus.
Yeah.
That would be awesome if you can just keep it.
Yeah.
It's like, we play for keeps. Sorry, guys, I'm rare drafting. Screw
Welcome
the team.
Welcome to the Thunderdome, bitch. Yeah, man, that's awesome. Sweet. All right, Paul, anyone you want to thank you, shout out, anything you want to do here and get your plugs on?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, so for those of you guys tuning in, I am streaming full-time for the time being. So I will be streaming from 11:30 to 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/ShadowFireball. And of course, the best way to get notifications of that is following me on Twitter at Humph. Shameless plugs. Done.
You're streaming on the channel Fireball channel?
No. Sorry, twitch.tv/Humph. The Magic TV is something that we host, of course, on Channel Fireball. So I also do Magic TV, joined by Mashi Scanlon, who hasn't been on the show as often recently. But Mashi Scanlon and usually Josh Adder Layton, a Raptor. And we do that every week on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Channel Fireball. So you should also be on the lookout for that. We just talk about Magic, except. Lot less profanity.
Lots of G-ratedness.
Lots of G-ratedness. You're representing Channel Fireball.
G-rated?
It's yeah. They run a tighter ship there, you know.
Yeah. We've had a Raptor on the show too.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, we've had a pile of. I mean, we've been doing this now for Christ 3 years now, four almost.
Oh, okay. So you got me on here as the dregs, basically.
Well, I mean. You were away for so long.
Oh yeah. You could have messaged me while I was in Curacao.
I didn't know you in Curacao.
Hey, guy that hasn't played Magic in 5 years. why don't you join our stream? I heard that you were okay, like, you know, back in the day.
Better than Elsie.
I like your Jund videos. Yeah, they make
your
me
Jund
smile.
Videos, they're pretty good. yeah.
Play more Cruel Control.
Yeah, I really like that card.
No, that's good. I'm glad we finally put it together. I know we've been, you know, like shifts passing in the night for the last few weeks, but
yeah. But finally got it to work. Glad to be on the stream.
Yeah. And I hope that all of our listeners enjoy the show too, because we certainly had a good time having you on. You're more than welcome anytime you want a soapbox, buddy.
Of course.
I mean, no, it's like the better Michael Flores.
Wow. At least you're
And we have a show title.
Oh, no. He's going to hate us.
The better Michael Flores on the show. At least you said better.
Jay.
You know, that's something, I suppose.
Well done, Jay. Well done.
And that's something.
And that's something.
That's not nothing.
Oh, my lord.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to Jared. Good luck at the MDSS this weekend on the coverage side.
Yes, absolutely.
Good luck, Jay, getting a deck.
Too late to actually.
Yeah,
you know.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's my next one.
Have you found a deck yet, Jay?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, airbiscuit.deck. I hope you do well, Jay. I would actually really like you to get exactly the deck that you want and just play it and actually title the deck Thanks for Nothing, Jeremy Schofield.
All right. I'll do it.
And like make them type it up on coverage.
Oh yeah. I will.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious. But
I think the irony would be if he borrows a deck from me still.
Yes. Yes, certainly. That would definitely be the irony. But yeah, so I hope that's pretty successful. And KYT, obviously for you guys, I hope that it's a really good tournament. Make sure you practice your diction, Jeremy. I don't want to hear any ums, ahs, or likes.
Ooh, you know what? I'm an ummer.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I'm aware. It's actually something that I have started to really try to get a hold of. I was in a meeting for work with someone the other day, and he was very clearly a John Finkel.
What does that mean?
Have you ever listened to a John Finkel interview?
Nope. Does he a lot?
He's a you-know. He's a you-knower.
Oh, I'm a you-knower as well.
No.
You watch that video. You watch that video that Luis posted on Twitter, and you tell me who you knows more. Okay.
You Google Horde of Notions John Finkel. Give it more than 35 seconds before you want to punch your face in. So
a big you-knower.
So yes, and they're very similar, but John is so. Whereas people would use like that, I felt like that's how the you know came out. Now, let me preface all of this. John Finkel is one of the smartest human beings I've ever had the privilege of knowing the existence of. So, like, there is no commentary to the otherwise. He is a machine when it comes to this game that we all love. But it's just the one interview that I did listen to, it left. He's an ummer. Or a you-knower.
Apparently, there's also something that I've recently started doing that I wasn't aware of. I use the word anywho a lot, just to
intriguing.
Segue phrase. Yeah. So I'll say something. Anywho, back to this pack, or anywho, now round two, or I don't know. Anywho is now a thing. I've gone from you know to anywho. So,
huh?
Yeah. Anywho. Oh my god! I just said it. I just said it. Oh wow! That's insane. That is actually insane. That was an intentional.
That wasn't a setup.
That was.
I think he's upset that we called him the better Flores, and now he's trying to just be Flores.
Wow! See that now we're just shots are being fired. This is just not cool.
Anywho, thanks for joining us, episode 203, everybody.
You know,
that's all for us. If you know what I mean.
Wow! You know what I mean? I'm done. I'm done.
So many levels.
Screw all of you.
So many levels. Fuck you, I'm never coming back here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Way to invite me. The absolute last possible person. Michael Flores part 3 or whatever. Yeah. Or better Flores, actually. You guys said better Flores, so.
We did say, Jay said better Flores.
Although I've probably met Mike Flores like once in my life. I don't know. So I have, and I, since I don't listen to you guys very often, I don't actually know what you guys say or.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll just leave it at that. Honest. Yeah.
What the fuck?
You, you should go back and listen to us. We're hilarious.
Yeah.
That's true.
We actually are. Our early shows are just killer. Absolutely just killer.
Yeah, I believe
it. The one with Flores is killer.
Don't listen to those. Nobody listens to those.
Don't listen to the ones with Flores?
No.
Okay.
You can't. It's great because you got everybody talking with Flores and it's all going on. And then all of a sudden, Jay kind of comes out here. He's like, why are we listening to this fucking guy shill? Like, I... when he had the OMG episode or whatever that.
Yeah.
Jay just doing his own thing in the background came in there. He's like, well, I don't know if we're selling books or what. Like, what's going on?
Was that all he was doing?
Yes.
I see. So what you see about, there's this book that I wrote.
You should buy it, and let me tell you all the great things about it. Oh. Okay.
We all know that John Finkel's name would have been mentioned at least once by now.
It was many times. Many times it was mentioned.
Well, they kind of like doing that. I think BDM does it a lot too. Like the name drop.
Yeah,
the John Finkel name drop.
I think it is
JFM. Let's be realistic here.
It is. I think that BDM is probably one of my. He's one of my bucket list guests that I haven't had. We haven't had on yet.
You haven't had BDM on the show?
No. And every time I see him, I talk to him about it, and he's like, "Let me know," and then I just never do. I just don't know why. It just never happens. And I really.
Have you had Bueller on the show?
Bueller, no.
Okay.
No.
But,
but like
Marshall? Have you had Marshall?
We had Marshall before he was cool.
Yeah.
Marshall and I, as a matter of fact, to give you an idea of how long I've been doing this community thing, Marshall and I did some playtest videos, very much content videos that you would see, and moto videos, and we did them for the Bug Titan deck. back with Lotus Cobra and Grave Titan. If you remember the deck that Reed Duke made very popular towards the end of that standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long ago it was. Zendikar, baby. Zendikar.
That's not even a long time ago, man. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying.
When did you start playing? You played like a long time ago, right?
I played on and off from Revised is when I got started. And I played Revised until...
And then when did you get like hooked? Know what I mean?
Oh, like I was hooked, 10th mm-hmm. edition, but like just edition, before. Okay. So like Future Sight Block, I was hooked.
Yeah, I got hooked in, Torment. So right after like 7th edition, kind of.
Yeah.
So that was when I got hooked.
Yeah.
Man, I've been playing. I've been playing competitively longer than you have.
Oh, absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even playing competitive back then. I was just, you know, a kid.
Well, yeah.
We were playing.
Me and my friend did a lot of losing. We started playing Magic just by playing online.
Oh. Okay.
And so it was very expensive. Fortunately, my friend was very rich because I didn't have any money.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, first PTQ I ever went to, I played a Morrowgeddon deck.
A Morrowgeddon deck.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Mark Rosewater.
Yeah. Seems reasonable.
Yeah. It was good at the time. Earn him Djinns, Morrow, Winter Orb, Armageddons, Source of Plowshares. These were decks. Anyways. All right, kids. We're going to pack this shit in. Dad's got to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I guess it is a lot later for you guys than it is for me.
Especially for
those guys.
It's pushing midnight for us. Yeah.
I'm like, it's like 8:57. What the hell?
Yes. Yeah.
Get a grip. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's awesome. So we had a great show. Thank you everyone for showing up. We will be back next week with stories from the MDSS. I'm sure that Jay and Jer will tell us all about the amazing tournament and probably the Epic Wolf afterwards.
Yep.
I imagine that's going to be a thing.
Commander,
of course, the Commander decks are on the shelf as of the posting of this, so go out and get them. Add whatever you want to your cubes or just battle some Commanders and get those Legacy cards all shined up because Jersey's right around the corner. Have a good night, everybody. Peace the fuck out.